At the G20 summit in St. Petersburg tomorrow, will the Prime Minister do everything he can to get other countries to match the UK's important aid commitment to alleviate the humanitarian emergency in Syria, given that we know that almost one-third of Syrian families have been forced to flee their homes, and yet the UN has less than half been forced to flee their homes, and yet the UN has less than half the resources that it needs?
Prime Minister.
Well, of course I will be taking that action, because Britain has a very proud record on humanitarian aid, not just in this conflict, but in many previous conflicts. In this one, we are actually the second largest aid donor that there has been. We've spent over £400 million. It's very important at the G20 to make a number of points clear. Our absolute revulsion at the use of chemical weapons, our desire for a peace process, but I think above all, getting donor countries together and making sure we do everything we can, that they live up to their responsibilities, and we do everything we can to help the Syrian people in their hour of need.
Mr. Speaker, the civil war in Syria and the refugee crisis are having profound consequences not just in that country, but across the Middle East, specifically in Jordan, Turkey, Iraq, and especially in Lebanon, where the population is up by 25% since the civil war began. What specific support, beyond the welcome humanitarian assistance that his government is providing, can Britain give to these countries to help them deal with the burden on their infrastructure, their economies, and their wider societies?
Prime Minister.
I've seen for myself, having been to a refugee camp in Jordan, just how great the pressures are. That refugee camp in Jordan is now one of the biggest cities that there is in that country. We have well-funded embassies, well-funded diplomatic networks, very close relations with Lebanon, with Jordan, and obviously a close relationship with the Turks as well. We're doing everything we can to help and advise them. We're well placed to, because we're spending serious money on the humanitarian aid programmes. But at the end of the day, what we need is a solution to the Syrian crisis. We need the peace process to be put in place, and we also need to make sure we're absolutely clear about our revulsion in terms of chemical weapons, and we should be making sure that our aid programme is also helping give Syrian people protection from the appalling chemical weapons attacks that they've suffered.
Yeah. Ed Miliband.
Mr. Speaker, the revulsion that the chemical weapons attacks has shed on all sides of this House, as the debate last Thursday made clear. And I wanted then to come on to the issue that the Prime Minister raised, which is getting the talks going between the warring parties. The opposition Syrian National Council is meeting, I believe, the Foreign Secretary in the next couple of days. Can the Prime Minister tell us what work he is doing with them, with the Syrian National Council, to make those talks in Geneva happen?
Prime Minister.
The work we're doing with the Syrian National Council is really twofold. One is that we want to support those elements of the Syrian opposition that support a pluralistic, democratic and free Syria. That is what our engagement with them has been all about. But we go further than that, because we recognise that the so-called rebels who back those views also deserve our support. Our support in terms of training and assistance and advice, because the truth is this: we won't get a peace process in Syria unless President Assad realises that actually his regime is under some sort of pressure, some sort of threat, from not just from the rebels, but from the millions of Syrians who we must be standing up for, who want democracy, who want freedom, who want a better future for themselves and their children. It is them whose side we should be truly on.
Mr. Speaker, there is no difference within this House, across all sides of this House, in the need to stand up for the innocent people of Syria. The question at issue. I think the House has approached this issue so far in a calm and measured way, and we should carry on doing that. The point at issue is how to do that. Now, Mr. Speaker, there are large barriers, big barriers, as we found out over the last year or more, to the Geneva II peace talks actually happening. Can I ask the Prime Minister, though, whether there isn't a case for immediate talks between those countries backing the rebels and those countries backing the regime? That happened during the civil war in Lebanon and would at least provide a basis for discussion.
Prime Minister.
I agree with the Right Honourable Gentleman that Britain should use all of its diplomatic muscle to discuss with those countries that have backed the regime and to join with those countries who back the rebels and the opposition to try and bring those talks about. And that is why I've had repeated discussions, for instance, with President Putin, most recently last Monday, and why I travelled to Sochi to see him specifically to discuss this issue. But I come back to this point. It's all very well for the countries supporting either side side to want these peace talks to take place, what you also need is for those people involved in the conflict in Syria to recognise it's in their interests to see a peace process start to begin. Now, I think we can convince the Syrian National Council it's in their interest, because a transition could lead to genuinely free elections and change for Syria. But we need the regime, Assad himself, to realise that it is in his interest, because there is no victory he can win against his own people. And for that to happen, we do need to take, and the world needs to take, a very tough response to things like chemical weapons attacks. Right, yeah. Now, I accept that Britain can't be part and won't be part of any military action on that front, but we must not in any degree give up our utter revulsion of the chemical weapons attacks that we've seen, and we must press this point in every forum of which we're a member.
Mr. Speaker, nobody disagrees with our revulsion at the use of chemical weapons. As I say, the question is how to deal with it. Now, the thing I said to the Prime Minister is that given the difficulty of getting direct talks moving between the Syrian government and the opposition, whether there isn't a case for getting the regional partners involved. Now, we all know the role Iran has played in fueling this conflict. But given that successful diplomacy involves talking to those with whom we profoundly disagree, what is the government's position on Iran participating either in a contact group or as part of the Geneva process?
As the Foreign Secretary said yesterday, he will be meeting with the Iranian Foreign Minister when he's in New York for the UN General Assembly. But let's not forget what Iran has actually done to our embassy and to our country. We shouldn't put that on one side. The point I'd make to the Right Honourable Gentleman is, of course, we all want these peace talks to take place. We all want Geneva 2 to happen. But we can't want it more than the participants involved in Syria's bloody conflict. And we have to make sure it's in their interests that these talks go ahead. And that's why, yes, diplomacy is important, but the work we do with the Syrian opposition that supports democracy, that supports a pluralistic, fair and free future for Syria, that is important. They are standing up for millions of Syrians who've been bombed and blasted out of their houses. Those are the people you need to talk to in the refugee camps in Jordan and elsewhere to see how they feel, how badly the rest of the world is currently letting them down.
Mr. Speaker, nobody disagrees with that, or indeed the view we take about Iran's behaviour. The question is, how are we going to bring the parties together, including the regional parties? And finally, Mr. Speaker, does he accept that there remains support across the country for Britain taking every diplomatic, political and humanitarian effort to help the Syrian people? And last week's vote was not about Britain shirking its global responsibility. It was about preventing a rush to war.
Last week, the House of Commons voted clearly, and I've said I respect the outcome out of that vote, and I won't be bringing back plans for British participation in military action. I agree with him, we must use everything we have in our power, our diplomatic networks, our influence with other countries, our membership of all the key bodies, the G8, the G20, the UN, the EU, NATO, we must use all that influence to bring to bear. My only regret of last week is I don't think it was necessary to divide the House on a vote that could have led to a vote, but he took the decision that it was.